Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, did you know that no matter what area of life you find yourself struggling in, whether it be health or finances, career, or your relationships, it's really the thoughts behind these things that are the most powerful in determining whether you succeed or fail. And for most of us, we have fear-based or self-negating thoughts that hijack our confidence and well-being. So today's program is all about how to change the way you think and confront those fear-based thoughts so that you can succeed, have confidence, and be happy. My guest today is Aura Nadrich. She is founder and president of the Institute for Transformational Thinking and the author of the book, Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever. She is a certified life coach and mindfulness teacher, and she specializes in transformational thinking, self-discovery, and mentoring new coaches as they develop their careers. And you can learn more about her and her book at the website, theifttt.org. So welcome to the program, Aura. I know that listeners loved your advice and inspirational thoughts last time you were on the show. So it's great to have you with us today again.
Thank you so much for having me back, Terry. I'm so glad to be here.
Me too. I love talking with you. But first, before we get to fear-based thoughts and how to change them, tell listeners, what is a life coach and a mindfulness teacher? What do you do, actually?
Well, as a life coach, which I have been for 10 years, and now I'm calling myself more of a thought coach than I am a life coach, because that's really the specialty. That's the area. That's the root, as far as I'm concerned, of the type of coaching that I have been doing for these past 10 years is really helping people become more aware of the way their mind works and the thoughts that they have in their mind and how they can work with them and transform them.
I like that change to a thought coach.
Thank you. I love it.
And what kinds of clients then do you see as a thought coach?
I see people that feel stuck. Now, not everybody is aware that they're stuck, but they know that they're not living their life in that full, actualized way, you know? And what I have discovered time and time again with my clients is that they are holding on to a thought that is hindering them from really going for it. Like, and it could be in the four pillars that you mentioned of their life, be it health, career, relationships, and or health, that oftentimes there are those areas in our life where we feel stuck or sluggish, or we just don't feel like we're really there, and we're making it happen in the way that we want to.
So give us an example, Aura. So for listeners who are thinking about their relationships, how would they feel stuck? How would they know that their thoughts aren't allowing them to move forward?
Well, you know, first of all, with my work, with the Says Who Method, which is the book that I've written, Says Who, and created the Says Who Method, which is a questioning method and inquiry for, you know, looking at those thoughts that really are getting in the way of our lives in those areas that I mentioned, specifically in the area of relationships. You know, there are a lot of ideas and there are a lot of thoughts that turn into beliefs that we have. So whether you want a relationship or you're in a relationship, you can get very stuck in thoughts that you have, be it about yourself or your partner, that are limiting. I mean, I love working on this with my own husband. Do you know the ways in which we can take it higher, the ways in which we can become better communicators, the way in which we don't hold on to hurts and resentments? So a lot of the thoughts that we keep active in our mind can be, you know, that, oh, I don't like that he or she did that, or they make me feel this way or that way. You know, we hold on to so many fixed ideas in our relationships that we don't bring in new thoughts to support the relationship being the best that it can be.
And that's constant.
That is a constant effort that two people really need to make.
Right. And that's fascinating. So I have these fear-based or self-negating thoughts that they're not listening to me, that I don't like what he is doing. And I'm talking, let's say, about my husband, right?
Right.
Or listeners, you're talking about your partner, thinking about your partner.
Right.
That then do not allow me to go to greatness, that don't allow me in that relationship to get better and to improve. So those are the fear-based or self-negating thoughts then that then impede my happiness. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're very quick to form opinions about each other in relationships. You know, there's that whole idea of, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You know,
yes.
We can really look at each other and go and have these silent thoughts to ourselves. Oh, he always does that. Or, oh, she always makes me feel that way. Or, oh, I'm not going to even present this to him or her because they're going to, like, slam that idea down. You know, we continue to tell ourselves things about one another that really keeps us stuck in, you know, limited thinking about one another, when the beauty of a relationship is that we can start afresh each day. And it's a wonderful way to refresh your relationship with your partner. We know that we get stuck in these judgments about one another. And we get so familiar with one another that we don't even think that we're going to change. And we hold that against each other. And that becomes part of our core beliefs in a relationship. It's very limiting. It's very stifling.
Oh, absolutely. I actually, when I talk to clients, I say that's mind reading, that I assume that my partner is thinking something, and that then prevents me from asking a question, making another comment, or going forward in a discussion. And so what I'm interested in then, Aura, is do I have to deal with where those thoughts come from, or are you saying that I should just start in the present?
Well,
do I have to go back to the where they originated
from?
That's
wonderful, Terry, because I think what we're combining here right off the top, which is great because it's my favorite combination, is mindful awareness of the thoughts that we have. And mindfulness is being in the present moment with total awareness. So let's just say I'm holding a thought about my partner and I'm about to speak to them. And that thought that I'm holding about them that could be negative and or fear-based might really affect the way in which I'm about to talk to them. So by holding that present moment awareness of having a preconceived idea or thought about them, I can catch it. That's the mindful awareness, which I really talk about in Says Who, because I introduce mindfulness into the book about being aware of the thoughts that you have. And by having that awareness, you can not only work to change them, but you can be aware of what you're about to say to somebody and not let that thought run amok in your mind. So an example of that would be, if I have a thought about my husband, you know, instead of talking to him in a way that isn't really mindful or even, in fact, disrespectful, I can say, okay, you know what? I'm holding that thought and I'm believing that it's true based on a previous experience that I may have had. Let me approach this differently. Let me release that thought. That's part of my release and replace technique. And I know I'm covering a wide range here right now.
Well, we're going to get to that how in just a second. So that's okay.
You know, so I really would love to start with mindful awareness of the thoughts that we have. And by having a mindful awareness of those thoughts, A, we're going to be the observer, which is so helpful because we're not going to go into reactive mode. And we know that so many of our thoughts trigger us. So therefore, we're going to talk to our partner in a way that's out of being triggered.
Okay, or I can just hear the listener, right? They're saying, well, that's easier said than done, because when I'm irritated or upset because something in the past is affecting my thoughts now or my assumptions, how can I be mindful of the present? I'm so irritated, upset, I want to leave the room. So how do I become mindful of my thought and how it's driving me?
You catch it in the moment that you're having it. You have a you have a thought, and it's charged. And then when you start to become aware, again, being the observer, you can say, huh, I'm really upset right now. I'm really triggered right now. I'm really pissed right now. You know, or they did that yesterday, and that really pissed me off. And now they just said something that even pissed me off more. I'm aware that I'm pissed off, and I'm aware that I have these thoughts about this person that is not making me feel very loving towards them. You start to diffuse it. You start to dismantle it. You know, we talk so much about this, and it's easy to go to that place of, well, it's easier said than done. Here's the deal. It all takes an effort. It takes work. I certainly didn't write a book that's a quick fix. And all of this is something that's going to require our attention and our care and our effort.
Absolutely. But the outcome, the consequences are humongous. They're great. They're wonderful. I'm going to be happy, confident.
Wonderful. So wonderful. Mindfulness, which really should be the base point. It should be really the foundation of everything. And it is the beginning of the Says Who method, is having the awareness, being in the moment, and even catching a thought that's about to wreak havoc. It's those troublemaker thoughts that spin us out of control, and we go into reactive mode, and then things are said that leave our mouth that we can't roll back into our mouth once we've said it. So we want to catch that, especially because you brought up relationships, that we are really mindful. We can be aware that we're holding a thought about our partner, and we want to be aware of it before we say something that is hurtful and disrespectful.
And I love what you said about being an observer. I mean, that's so psychological. If we can be an actor and an observer and be aware of our emotion and then the thought and how it's driven by the past, that's an amazing process then that we can really affect how we act toward our partner. I like that, being an observer. You know, I teach college students and I teach a basic course in social psychology. And that's a very difficult thing for them to understand, that they are an actor and an observer. But when you're an observer, you become so mindful and so self-aware. I love that. I'm going to use that in my course this term.
I'm so glad. And it's so true. And I love the way you describe that, because you know, we really need to be able to discern between the different, between the two, and that, yes, we are the actor, and we also can be the observer, and we can catch ourselves. And that's the beauty of mindfulness, is that once you start to really practice it more regularly, you can catch yourself when you're about to be impulsive. You can catch yourself when the actor is the one that's in the driver's seat and is about to say something that we wish we hadn't. So we really can cultivate a whole new way of being in the way that we're interacting with one another. It does take practice, and it does take discipline, and it does take the commitment on our part.
Right, because relationships are worth it. I mean, so is our health and our career and our finances, but our relationships, at least for this program, are so worth it.
Yes,
so, effort, do that work. So what is the process then? I know that you say that we should learn how to ask Says Who. How does that work?
Says Who is the first question of the Says Who method, and it's a very important question, and I commend anybody who takes that first step, because Says Who is really asking oneself, who is saying this thought in my mind? Who is telling me that I'm worthless, that I'm unlovable, that I'm never going to be enough, that I'm not good enough, that I'm not going to succeed at this, that, or whatever? And it's taking ownership of what we tell ourselves. We all have the inner critic. We all say very unkind things to ourselves, and we accept it readily. And yet if somebody else were to say those things to us, we would defend ourselves. That would be our go-to place, hopefully, is to defend ourselves. So we must learn how to do that with ourselves. Says Who is, who is saying this thought in my mind, this negative, fear-based, or limited thought in my mind, and it's stepping forward and saying, I am. I am saying it to me. I'm telling myself that I'm not, and then you can tell yourself what that thought is. You know, we all know that we have those thoughts, and oftentimes there is one particular thought, and I do something called the Says Who meditation or the retrieval meditation, which I teach in my Thought Coach certification training program, of sometimes we don't know what that thought is. We need to bring it forward. We need to bring it up, and we need to look at it closely, and that's the inquiry. So the first question is, again, an important one. Says who? Who is saying this thought in my mind? I am, initially. And then, of course, you go on to the six questions after that.
I see. So this is, you called it the socio method. Is that what you said, Aura?
The says who method.
Okay. You said something it was part of a larger process.
Yeah, no, the says who question, the very first question, which is the title of the book and also the title of the says who method, which are the seven questions to ask oneself.
And so that's the first question that I need to ask myself. And the answer is, I am telling this to me. And so then once I answer that question, does my fear-based thought or self-negating thought lose its power over me?
No, because you have to go on to the six questions after that. Says who is basically stepping forward and saying, I have a thought that I want to change. I'm ready to change it. And then you ask yourself the six questions. I don't know if you have the six questions.
I do not. What are those?
Oh, okay, great. Do you want to get into those? Do you want me to tell you what they are?
Yes, absolutely, because now our listeners are getting, they're responsible now.
Absolutely.
I am responsible for what I'm saying. Good.
That's right. So the says who questions are seven questions that really begin the transforming process. It becomes the change that you want to create with your own thought. And oftentimes we work as coaches with a particular thought. I know we have many sometimes that are negative and fear-based, but there's usually one thought that you want to process. Says who, again, who is saying this thought? I am, whatever that particular thought is for you. The second question, have I heard someone say this thought before? Do you know so many of our thoughts that we are so at the effect of didn't even originate with us? So many of those negative and fear-based thoughts we took on. I've worked with so many clients that are still berating themselves or still have a very strong core belief that's negative that did not even originate with them. They carried it over from childhood, something that a parent said, something that a teacher said, something that an authority figure said or a previous relationship partner said, or remembering something that was said to you from a bully on the schoolyard. You know, I've worked with people that remember that. They're still holding the I'm not good enough in a particular area because they remember the first time someone said that to them. So that's
it doesn't
an important
have to be yesterday. It can be 20, 50 years ago.
Absolutely. A high percentage of those negative thoughts originated. And if you dig deep, you can remember, I've worked with a lot of clients that remember, again, something that was said to them that they still believe about themselves. Right. I worked with a woman at a expo that I coached hundreds of people at. I did like mini 15 segment coaches with them. This is a very attractive woman, and she sat with me, and she felt very unattractive. And when we processed, and I had everybody ask me a question, to bring a question to me, and hers was, why do I think I'm so unattractive? Now, here a woman sits down with me, and she's just very attractive. Mm-hmm. And when we dug deep, it was that she always felt that she was the least attractive daughter and sister because of things that her mother used to say to her about being more complimentary to her sister. And that's carried over into adulthood. As you know, Terry, being in the field that you work in, that we carry over a lot of that stuff.
And the more important that person was to us growing up, the more likely it stays with us, because that was a significant comment. And you know, I've had clients where they have gone back to that parent or back to that good friend, and that friend or parent doesn't even remember saying it. But the child, now adult, really held on to it for so long.
Right. And we have an opportunity to change that out. And that's really why this is so powerful, is that we have the opportunity to go, says who? I mean, and I say that with a bit of a sassy tone, because
I love the sassy tone.
You know, because you have to get to a point where you've just had enough. And that's really what these questions are about. They're about when you really have reached a point where you're ready to let that thought go. You're over it. You've lived with it for so long, and, you know, the questions that come after, which are, do I like this thought? That's question number 3. 4, does this thought make me feel better? 5, does this thought work for me? 6, am I in control of this thought? And the final question, do I want to keep this thought or let it go? You realize that you're at a point now where you really are ready to let that thought go. And this is a process. It's a questioning and a challenging of that thought, because you are ready to change it out.
And now, do you talk about all of these questions in your book, Says Who?
Yes, it's really introducing what we started with, which is mindfulness and having a mindful awareness of the thoughts that are causing you unhappiness and, you know, basically suffering. You know, so many of our thoughts really are very depleting and very debilitating. Do you know? They can be very damaging to our self-esteem. So yes, and then I introduced the Says Who method, which I just gave you a very quick run through of these questions that you are challenging your thought by questioning it. And then you are stepping forward with the first question, says who is saying this thought in my mind, that you're willing to change it. And that's really what I'm proposing and offering up to people, is this questioning, is this inquiry, so that you can begin to challenge those thoughts that don't serve your well-being. You know, if you don't have a skill set in place, if you don't even know that you can question a thought. I've worked with so many people that will say to me, Aura, I never even thought to question a thought that I have. And that really indicates how quick we are to accept those negative and fear-based thoughts.
Right. We don't question. We just accept. And the consequences to us and our health and our relationships is profound. So we only have a few minutes left, Aura, but tell listeners, when we do this questioning, when we go through this process, when we read your book, what are the outcomes? What are the consequences?
The outcome is so positive, in that you really start to not only develop a greater awareness of your own thoughts and the power that they can have over you, is that you start to feel empowered, more empowered, that you can change them, that you're in the driver's seat. And as I say in Says Who, you are the creator and master of your internal dialogue, which creates your reality. You know, that's the connect the dots. Our thoughts create our emotions, create behavior, create, you know, and actions, which result in our reality. Do you know that
exactly.
We have to take responsibility for that? So I've had so many people say to me, my God, I'm so aware now of the way I think. I feel so much more empowered that I can select and choose the thoughts that I want to hold in my mind and the ones that I want to let go of. And the result of that, the outcome, is that you see a shift in your thinking. Many people have said to me, I used to consider myself a negative person, and I don't feel that way anymore. I'm on to myself. I know that.
And I would gather that, you know, as you shift your thoughts and your mind, as you said, being a therapist as well, that then you can shift and change your emotions, and then you can shift and change your behavior. So you're picking people who are better for you.
Yes.
You are having better relationships, and you're happier.
You really are, and you don't feel like you're a victim. And this is really about the emancipation of victimhood. You know, we have a say in the matter. We have a say. We are powerful. We have these thinking minds. They don't have control over us unless we give it to our own mind. And yet we're cultivating thoughts that we can change daily. That's pretty empowering.
That is so empowering, Aura. Yeah. And I hope listeners, you hear that, because that is giving me myself control again. And that's so important in our lives, not in general, but also in these four core areas that you're talking about. Well, thank you so much, Aura. The time always flies by when I talk with you.
Me too, with you, Carrie.
It's always a pleasure.
I so enjoyed it. Thank you again for having me back.
Absolutely. And listeners, if you want to connect with Aura Nadrich, founder and president of the Institute for Transformational Thinking and author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, go to theiftt.org. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.